You're listening to a live workshop audio recording from Hope Church Toronto West. For more media resources from our classes and workshops, along with printed materials and notes, please visit hopechurchtw.ca/learn.
So, the floor is open for questions. No, go for it. Yeah.
So sometimes, there are times in the workplace where, in that very moment, there's a lack of motivation to engage in any sort of conversation, point to the gospel kind of thing. And so in moments like those, when you're in the moment, what should you do? Should you just do it regardless of whether you feel like it or not? Is there something that you should do to check up with your own heart first before you go about it?
So are you saying that you're in a situation where
another day at work and you just don't feel like preaching the gospel to people or
You don't feel like preaching the gospel, or you're looking for an opportunity?
There's no motivation.
There's no motivation.
Yeah. To do it because of whatever that day, has to go out
at
all. Yeah. Kind of thing. And it's there's no really genuine desire to do it.
Yeah.
So should you just instead take a step back and not preach, or should you regardless?
I think you gotta look at it more of not as sort of a check mark, or am I keeping up to a certain measure of performance, but it's more of an enduring long-term work. Is your overall attitude and mentality really to be able to witness to the people that you're working with, right? That's the heart. God is not looking at you, you didn't witness today, shame on you. That's not what God is going for, right? Because He knows we have our own struggles, right? You may be having a bad day and you're just having a bad day, right? That's fine. But, I think really just ask the Lord, pray for those opportunities where, the circumstances, people will be sharing what's going on in their past, to just give you that wisdom to, have the input, which would be a biblical way of, ministering to them. And that's what's getting them hooked on to, hearing you out. And so ask the Lord to open those opportunities for you. Mm-hmm. Throughout the week, and when you're at work, okay?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm gonna stick to you to stop just in case you might be going too far and repelling somebody away, as opposed to introducing them to God. You might be scaring them. So how do you I know obviously the Holy Spirit gives you an instinct, but any physical things I might see.
Yeah, just look at their reaction. Look at their, just observe them. Be very observant. Are they, reclining? Are they the next time they see you, are they walking away from you? You kind of get a sense of, oh my God, here comes the Bible head, right? You don't want that. One thing you got to look at is you just got to be a winsome witness, right? Mm-hmm. And a winsome witness is not somebody who is jamming, scripture down somebody's throat. You don't want to be that guy. You want to be telling them, why is it, worthwhile investigating who this Jesus is and doing it in a loving way. And, as Jesus said, be wise as a serpent, but gentle as a dove. And I think you need to be strategic in how you approach and when to approach. And sometimes keeping your mouth silent is the right thing at that time. And you will have another opportunity to bring up what happened in the past, to share what God wants you to lay on their heart, right? Yeah. So it really takes you, being aware of what the Lord is doing in your heart and also in the situation, and go about it in a very gentle and loving way.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And to add on that, I think one question that I ask myself is am I the stumbling block, or is the gospel the stumbling block? So in 1 Corinthians, it says that the gospel is foolishness to the Greek and a stumbling block to the Jews, right? So if you're presenting the gospel and they reject that, right, that's them rejecting the gospel. But if you are just pestering them and just being very abrasive or aggressive, then you are the one that's being the stumbling block. So just do a heart check and really say, hey, am I preventing the person from coming to Jesus, or is the person rejecting the gospel itself, right? It depends on the situation, really. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 1. Let me give you the exact verse. Verse 18. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us are being saved is the power of God. And then in verse 22, it says, for the Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. Yeah.
Yeah. One question, just your take on the whole idea of not casting pearl into the swines. Like, is there a point in time where, say, you preach the gospel multiple times, and they reject it and they continue to, you know, go back to their sin? Is there ever a moment where you should stop?
The question was the whole idea of like giving pearls to the swine, to the pigs. Is there any point in time where if a person just seems to be rejecting the gospel every time you bring it up, at which point do you stop, or do you ever stop? I'm going to leave it to Joyson.
No. It's not that, you know, I would look at it as throwing your pearls to swine. I would say it's your attitude of persevering after the individual. And a lot of that, I would say, is, you know, there's a point where, you've shared what you need to say, and now it's a matter of you just praying for that person. And I think, you know, what is done in secret in prayer is, you know, could far more transform that individual than what you're going to be saying, you know, on a repeated matter, because you've already shared it with them. Now, mm-hmm. just pray that the Lord will bring it to their remembrance and bring conviction with that, right?
Yeah.
But that's not to say stop sharing, right? If they're, you know, if it's a loving relationship, you know, you love them, you keep coming after them and you keep pursuing them,
yeah.
right? And don't think of it, oh, this is not for me anymore. So it's just that hard attitude, you know, you have heart check and say, you know what, I still love them, I want to go after it, and I still want to share.
Yeah, just an example in my life. I had a really good friend that just stopped going to church after first year of university. And I mean, I shared the gospel over and over again. And then I talked to my pastor at that time, and he was just like, well, maybe it's time to just let God do the work. So I just kept praying. And, you know, 2 years down the road, I stopped by and started talking to her again. And then she was back at church, at a different church. But it was not my doing, right? Like, it's like at that point, it's just, I gave it up to God. And so I think what Joyson was saying is like, yeah, like maybe you stop sharing the gospel, but you don't stop loving that person. You don't stop wrestling in prayer for that person. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Go ahead, Lindsay. Okay. Sorry.
Lindsay,
and then we'll go to.
Good question. I think I might touch on it. A lot of us work in very highly regulated jobs. For example, I work in human resources. We are supposed to love everyone for who they are, no matter what. How do you, or do you have any, how to say, tips, but like, how do you bring it in with being genuine and, like, not that I don't care if I have lost my job or anything, but like, how do you bring it in when you have such tight rules against you?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And about like bringing up the gospel.
Yeah. Like I had somebody talk to me the other day, and it took everything in me not to say, man, you gotta come to church with me. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. but like I couldn't do it. And okay, I showed up. I know.
Yeah.
But like, my brain said, but no, but like, what do you do?
I'll talk after.
I think personally, I take it offline. Like I have a lot of conversation like that with my students, and a bunch of my students kind of know that like I go to church and whatnot. And I make it very clear. It's like, well, I'm taking my professor hat off and have this conversation. I would never do it during a lecture. You know what I mean? Like, but one-on-one, when they're at my office, again, I think it's just that rapport that they're like, if they don't feel that you're shoving your faith down their throat, that they would be more receptive. You know what I mean? That's how I approach it. That's what I've done in the past. I just kind of talk to like Henry and Jess about like the staff member at PT, Power to Change as well. So like just avenues where I could kind of funnel them in, into a place where like they could talk more freely. But that's what I usually just kind of take it offline, be like, hey, like now I'm not speaking as this person. I don't know. Yeah.
It's the context of your conversation. I think if you define that very clearly to them, especially when, you know, Vince is saying doing it outside of work hours, then you can't be faulted for it, right? Because you're acting now not as an HR person, but you know, you're just Lindsay and we're just having, you know, a coffee after work and that's it. Whatever happens in the work environment, it's a different situation altogether. So I think it's a fine line because you're privy to information, and you know how you sort of take that information and use it outside of work. I think you have that flexibility, and as long as they're receptive to it and they're, you know, accepting of it, then why not go for it, right? I mean, I've been able to have open conversations with people at work, and it really takes a discernment to understand, you know, what are they able to handle with what you say to them, even if you challenge their thoughts and their beliefs, and where you need to sort of shrink back because it's becoming offensive or it's becoming they're taking offense at it, right? So you need to have that level of discernment, and in the midst of all of this, always know that the Lord is with you, right? I think that's what we often forget with it. This is something that we have to do on our own. You're asking for the Holy Spirit, you know, give me the words to say in this moment because I don't know what to tell this person. I had elders, you know, praying over situations where, you know, a man found out that, you know, his wife was having an affair, and that opened up the opportunity for him to stay behind and minister to him and pray for him in the office hours. Right. And so you have a whole set of brokenness that people are coming to you with, and, you know, they're looking for solutions. And here's the gospel opportunity. Those are the prime examples where, you know, you just get in that moment and you start ministering to their hearts, because they're not going to come back and say, oh, you know what, I was weeping over the fact that this happened and Lindsay was praying for me. They're going to be, you know, sympathetic and very grateful for that. Mm-hmm. Right. So it really takes that, you know, that discernment in those moments, how to really approach the situation. And I think context and conversation is important.
Yeah.
We'll come back to you, Sean. Okay, go ahead.
Going through these stages of neighboring, engaging, and witnessing, it's very much of a relational thing. And it gets very personal, even though I think God reveals himself to us intellectually and optically. And we might be able to articulate him in that way, that the gospel is very much a personal thing. Let me share with you what my Jesus did for me. So how do you navigate opportunities where there might not be any mutual friends and you have an opportunity to share the gospel with the opposite sex in wisdom and like in protecting your heart, but knowing that it's a very personal thing and it's over time. It's long term. It's not just, let me tell you,
so sorry, I didn't catch all the questions.
So I think if I'm understanding you correctly, you're saying, you know, how would it, and this is really specific to sharing to the opposite sex, how would you be very personable in sharing your testimony to the opposite sex and helping them, lead them to the Lord? Is that in the gospel in general? I think you need to have good accountability before you even engage in something like that, because that you need to be guarding your own heart, that, you know, whenever the opposite sex is involved, there is always that, you know, you need to have clear boundaries in place, which is not to say that you can't share. Just so that's what I would say, you know, always have, and, you know, even when you're engaging this individual, you know, have people praying for you before you even go into the conversation, and know where your boundaries are, where you need to walk away. Okay. So that takes again, a level of maturity as well, because it depends on how personal the questions are and what you are divulging in those moments as well. So, you know, I would be very careful. But not to say, you know, to stay away from it, but you just need to be wise in how you approach it.
Hi. One thing that's worked for me, like, just in, maybe if you don't mind me sharing, like, something that's worked with me, so just going back to, I think, what Lindsay was asking about how to share, like, at work. One thing that's worked for me is just building a rapport, which you mentioned, but really just going back to relationships. So sometimes instead of starting with the gospel, one thing that at least has helped me is finding out what their motivations and their interests are. So that could be like somebody's grandchildren, that could be basketball, it could just whatever the interest is. And then based off of that information, you're building relationships. Like, oh, hey, I know you saw your granddaughter last week. How's she doing or whatever? And then you're just slowly kind of building the trust. And it kind of reminds me of what Jesus did. He always built the relationship first and built the rapport first. And then he said, hey, come follow me. And then they, you know, followed him. And then another thing that kind of helped me as well, too, is whenever somebody, like at work, you build like close relationships, and sometimes somebody will come and just kind of have a concern or a problem that happened. And one thing that I say to them is, do you mind if I offer a suggestion? So therefore you're asking for permission. And then what happens is they usually, like, if you built a relationship, they'll usually be like, yeah, sure. And then that's when you can start to kind of share your testimony. Because like you said, nobody can really argue with your testimony, right? That's just something that kind of helped me.
So this is what you can often expect when you're engaging in these kinds of conversations. And, you know, the existential reality of the one suffering is, I need to know that you're sympathizing with my weakness, not just telling me what you think I know, right? So very well done, you know. And so this is what you can expect. And so, you know, anticipate it, prepare for it. And it's okay if you don't get through the first time. Just keep at it, right? Mm-hmm. Persevere. That's the whole point, that the fact that you don't let go of these individuals. And you can see that it's going to be a drawn-out process, right? You're not going to rationally convince somebody who's suffering that it's okay. This was all part of God's plan or design. They're going to be wondering, what are you thinking, right? You must be crazy. But here's the beauty of it. When you're suffering and you're showing that witness of your love and testimony to God, the individual who sees your perseverance and faith is going to say, wow, there's something different about that person. So, you know, it's all part of the plan that, you know, whatever is happening to us, God is using it. Okay? And so be faithful. Yes.
And just a reminder, sometimes in those situations that have been in, like, the world, like, if there's a person who hasn't been a believer and they get to death and they get in the God sphere and then they credit the really bad stuff to God, and if you can gently kind of credit all the really great stuff to God, like, by the same token, because they've gotten into, if there is a God, that's after right. My mom died, and if you could gently say, well, by the same token, all the love and amazing experience and, like, the beauty in your life that came from your mother, like, that was God thinking that up and creating you for that, and he's the one who created that also, and then it can even it out a little bit, and also, like, because I think that's what our society has done. Well, like, we don't have a place for the blame, so we'll throw it on God, and we kind of describe all the other better things to whatever secular belief system that we have.
Absolutely. That's a very good point. That's a very good point. We oftentimes forget, you know, the gratitude of all the things that we've enjoyed. But, you know, when things go wrong, it's like, oh, why is this happening to me, right? And that's a complex that all of us have. It's just the nature of our sinful nature, right? And so that's a very good point. Thank you for sharing that. Yes, Rosie?
Yeah, I completely agree with Google. Also, the friend that really turns things around. The other part of it, too, and incidentally, but in that situation, that whole first meeting, and then you're just listening and empathizing with their suffering before I get into the other stuff. But I find it as a good way to kind of introduce sin, you know, original sin, and in terms of the fact that. Because mostly people come to it by blaming God for this, and like, he made that happen. Right? So if we can kind of shift that to the fact that it's sin that causes suffering to come in the first place, but God made a way, right? Through sending Jesus, and therefore kind of turn it around so they understand that they also have that choice to engage with Jesus in their suffering. Yeah, that was caused from sin in a way, originally. Yeah. So, and so I find that kind of taking that emphasis of God made this happen to kind of how sin caused suffering in a way, but God has made provision to walk with you through that. Yeah. So that also kind of, I find like that kind of help to kind of take it.
Absolutely. I think what the beauty of the gospel is, you know, when people start blaming God, they don't realize that God himself is taking the suffering. He's not a distant God. He's not leaving it up to us to figure things out and to resolve it. He's intimately involved in the process. And I think that's the big selling point when the gospel distinguishes us from every other religious faith group, right? Because you're often left to a system of works, whereas the gospel is saying, no, God is doing the work for you. Just rest in Him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's very good. Kathy, and then we'll get back to you.
Well, I was just going to say, like, I think all of us, every person on this earth knows that everybody suffers.
Yeah.
Everybody we know, if they're not suffering now, will go through suffering. And I think it opens the door where we can say, you know, when we put our hope in things of this world, like, look at the world. The world is a bit of a mess. Even non-believers will agree with that, right?
Yeah.
I think it can open the door for you to say, but, you know, there is a hope that's not of this world, right?
Yeah.
So that could be an open door, and you just take that approach, right? Like, is this all there is?
Yeah.
That's a question a lot of people have. Is this all I have? Honestly, if all we have to hope for is things in this world, that's pretty sad, right?
Yeah. Very true. Yes, and then.
I don't know if you said this actually, but I just realized I didn't actually go to the gospel. So none of that mattered.
You were leading him in that direction.
Steps, right? It's,
yeah.
Like, it's not just in one conversation a lot of times,
yeah.
Right?
So yeah. So well, that's fine.
Yeah.
Sometimes as Christians, even mature Christians sometimes, they suffer in their faith. You know, they're going through faith at all times. There's weaknesses in their faith, right? And I guess in situations like that, when you're speaking to your friends, whatever it may be, I guess it's got to sometimes be careful to show that you're suffering and your faith is being tested, because it could come off as being you don't have enough faith, or your faith is not strong enough, or maybe the God that you really trust in is not that great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you do go through moments where you yourself will learn it and you yourself are asking
questions.
Why is that happening?
Yes.
So how do you navigate that? Because that's also a reality of being a Christian.
Yeah.
I would say, like, have a good theology of suffering, right? It's you being Christian doesn't mean that you don't suffer, right? And that
how do you navigate when your faith itself is being tested and you assess the questions?
I think what you need to be wise in what you share to your non-believing friends. I think, mm-hmm. you know, what you disclose to your Christian friends are going to be understanding the theology of what you're going through, and who are being able to edify you and encourage you and strengthen you in that process. Like, obviously, I wouldn't go and ask, you know, theological questions or, you know, life transforming questions to my non-believing friends, because the wisdom that they're going to give me is not of God,
mm-hmm.
right? So, you know, I have to be mindful of that. They're my friends, I love them, but, you know, if I'm making a life-changing decision, they're not the ones who are going to first. I'm going to those who are mentoring me in their walk, who have been tested in the faith, who have shown mm-hmm. perseverance, who can minister to me in my brokenness, and those are the people who I'm going to pour my heart out to. And so that's where the wisdom aspect comes in, right? Yeah, your level, you would it's not to say that you need to bury your suffering, but you need to tell them you're persevering through this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and your Christian friends can obviously see your level of brokenness, right? You look at the Psalms, David is revealing how much he's struggling and how much he's frustrated with his life situation. But he's wise as to who he's revealing it to, right? And that's where we need to be too as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Go ahead, Vince.
Yeah, all right.
Any other questions?
Good.
Okay, so we're all going to go out there and we're going to share our faith, and it's going to be an awesome thing, and you know, our Easter service is going to be packed. No, let's, you know, just take this time to pray again. You know, thank you guys for coming out and, you know, just being encouraged and wanting to be motivated to do this. You get a sense of, you know, you get to know, you know, if you look through the share model, where you are in your level of maturity, of how you want to engage your neighbor and your friends. And, you know, just ask the Lord to help you. I think at the end of the day, you know, let the Lord witness through you. And that's what you rest in. Okay. Leave the work into the hands of the Lord. Just rest in Him to use you. Okay. Vince, you want to close?
Let's pray. Let's pray. Father God, we praise you that you are a God that saves. You're a God that loves us. You're the God that has called us, and that you're the God that sends us. So God, I pray that you would give us boldness, as we talked about this morning, that you would sent us out with the empowering of your Holy Spirit. Father, would you give us eyes to see? And God, would you give us a heart like Christ to say, as he looked upon the crowd, he had compassion upon them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. So God, I pray that you would help us to see people as Christ sees them. Lord God, would you give us compassion as he has compassion upon them? And God, would you drive away the fears in our hearts with the truth of your word? And God, would you fill us up with your gospel? Help us to fix our eyes upon you, the God who loves, the God who saves. And God, how would you just help us to be your hands and your feet and be the salt and the light that you have called us to be. God, send us out now. We thank you so much for where you have placed us, Lord. We look forward to what you're about to do through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, guys.